You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 122.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, how's it going now, guys? I want to give you an update here as far as today's masterclass is concerned. If you guys are sending direct mail to target motivated sellers and you're not targeting probates, I'm here to tell you, you're missing the boat and you're probably leaving out one of the highest profit per transaction list that you could potentially possibly target. Probates, as you're going to find out on today's episode, is one of those lists that tend to produce some of your highest margins. And there's a variety of reasons for that. But today's guest expert is a friend of mine, fellow Life and Air, family member, also fellow investor, Christina Kraus. If you guys don't know Christina, she's been in this game for a long time. She's been buying and selling property since 1999. She's built several successful businesses within the real estate arena. She started buying and holding, and she managed, I want to say it's just over about 250 rentals and has done well over 100 fix and flips. So somebody who's just been in the game a long time, understands the business, knows investors and what they need. And, years ago, she bought a company called Postal Impact, which is basically it's a marketing company that specializes helping real estate investors like us, providing, high quality probate leads and high end mail marketing campaigns. One of the cool things that her service does is they actually handwrite the envelopes, like not a handwritten font, like they actually have a human being handwriting the mailers, and they take care of all that for you. But aside from that, we have a very cool giveaway that we're going to be giving everybody who listens to the show. You can get that in the show notes page. And so we're really going to be diving into probates. So regardless if you've never done a deal before and you don't even know what probates are, or if you're a seasoned pro, you've done hundreds of deals. If you're targeting probates, you're going to want to listen to the show because there's probably things you're not doing. Christina has a little bit of a different twist on it. And if you're not targeting probates, by the end of the show, can pretty much guarantee you're going to be convinced that you should be targeting probates. So today's episode is going to be a lot of content around probates. I know, several shows back, we had another expert talking about probates, Rick Ginn. And I wanted to bring Christina on because probates is just, not only are you providing a valuable service to these homeowners who have lost somebody, a family member usually, but again, the opportunity for big deals here. And so Christina has a cool service, which we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about it, not too much, but your county might not even be available, but a service where they can not only provide the probate leads to you, they actually have somebody that goes to the courthouse or gets them online, depending on your county, but actually takes care of the four-step mailing campaign for you. And she uses, one of the things that we discuss on this episode is just kind of tricks of the trade, like what produces a higher response rate, what gets people to pick up the phone as far as the mailing piece is concerned. And then just different things around that, how you want to handle these probate leads. So I'm excited about this masterclass. I think you will too by the end of it. And make sure you stick around to the end because we have a very cool giveaway, something very valuable that Christina usually sells that we're just going to give away to you. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the show. And please, if you like it at the end, make sure you share it with your network, with family, friends. Tag me on social media. Let me know if you have any questions. And I'm happy to put you in contact with Christina if that's something, if you just like to connect with her and or if you have any questions about her service. So I'll catch you here in a second. Welcome back, everybody. It's awesome to have you on another masterclass here. I'm excited about today's guest. I always am, but through a good friend, Sean McCloskey, I recently got the good fortune to meet Christina Kraus. She's also a fellow Life and Air member, fellow real estate investor. You guys heard the introduction. She's been in this game a long time. Somebody that I've come to highly respect just based on all the positive recommendations and just you know, she just has such a good name in the industry and she really knows her business. And so even though in the past episodes, you know, we've touched on probates, I don't know that we've ever really done a deep dive. And so depending, I should say, regardless of your experience in this business, if you've never done any deals or if you've done hundreds of deals, I think we have a good mix as far as the audience is concerned. Today's episode, I think, is really going to open your eyes as far as investing in probates and targeting probate properties, because Christina has a little bit of a different twist to it, and she actually even offers a service that may be of interest to you. And so we'll touch on that at the end. But before I bring her on here, one of the things I definitely want to let you guys know is at the end of the show, we're going to actually give away a very valuable gift. And this is something that in the past Christina has charged for. And I would love to say I twisted her arm into, you know, having me give this away to my audience, but she was super cool and she actually offered it up. Make sure you stick around to the end of the show, because I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get and download this free gift. And just that alone, I think, can have a big impact on your business and on your bottom line if you just implement what she teaches in there. So having said that, Christina, it is awesome to have you on the show.
And it's awesome to be here. And I have to say, the only reason why I offered to give your listeners the book for free is because you said you were extra excited to have me. You're normally excited, but you're extra excited to have me.
I love it. Well, so that's the truth. I'm being sincere. I've actually, before connecting with you, I reached out to a couple of guys in the industry, and I heard some of some other podcasts that you were on, and I was like, I have to have her on. Like, my audience needs to hear her. So I really appreciate it.
I love it.
Very cool.
Well, I hope I live up to the hype.
Yep. No doubt about it. So, hey, I guess for the people, I mean, obviously I just talked about, you know, your experience and what you've done in this business, but maybe kind of filling in some of the gaps that are not in your bio. Can you, for the people that don't know who you are, just tell us a little bit about you, you know, how you got started in the business and where you're at in this business today.
Sure. Okay. So, I actually, began in the banking industry. So in the corporate world. And I always kind of knew I wanted to get involved in real estate. That was always something that was of interest to me. Even when I was younger, I always was kind of fascinated by it. So got my start in 1999. Got my start, incidentally, through the Carlton Sheets course. That might predate a lot of your listeners.
But including me.
At 43 years old, the old school, old-timers, the old-schoolers, the oldsters will remember Carlton Sheets. Yeah. And I got my start with that particular course. So I got my start in landlording, and I know that that is a dirty word for a lot of investors, but frankly, I really genuinely enjoy being a landlord. So began in landlording probably over 4 or 5 years, built up a portfolio of just over 250 rentals of my own that we managed, as well as managing maybe a couple hundred other rentals for other people, because we began to sell turnkey rentals to other investors who wanted to get involved. I would say that relatively quickly after we got into landlording, we did make that transition into flipping, if you will, rehabbing homes and selling. It just kind of made sense. You know, once you've rehabbed a couple rentals, it's you know, kind of the same thing to rehab a home and to sell it. So have done a good number of those over the years, and continue to do that actually to this day. I'm still an active investor to this day, focused primarily on probates because that is my niche. That's you know, my sweet spot. That is what I have found has worked incredibly well for me. So have been really fortunate to be in the business for a long time, and have incidentally, for full disclosure, have had my share of misfortune in this industry as well. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, I think that's how I've gotten to where I am today, is just learning from my mistakes. Sure. And I love coming on programs and talking about some of the mistakes that I made, because I think education is everything. If you can learn from someone else's mistakes and avoid making them yourself, it's all the better.
I totally agree. And that's actually a perfect segue. It's one of the main reasons I wanted to launch this podcast about a year ago. Today's show is all about probate. So I guess kind of a two-part question to kick things off here is, for people, I don't want to just assume that people know what the word probates means. So what are probates, and how did you actually, like, you've done all types of deals. How did you stumble upon probates to make that like your niche?
Yep. Okay. So most of the time when you hear probate or estate, most people's mind immediately goes to death. And that is why this lead sometimes can be a little bit intimidating. And while it is true that probate is precipitated by someone dying, it is not what people sometimes call pre-probate or obituary leads. They're not death leads. So you're not necessarily, I shouldn't say necessarily, you are not just blanketly marketing to people who have died in the hopes that they had real estate that they were passing on. You are actually marketing to probate leads. Probate is a process that each county in every single state requires once someone's estate or their assets exceed a certain dollar amount. And that dollar amount is set at a different level in every single county, in every single state. Mm-hmm. So you don't, you can find out what that number is. But what's more important is that it's normally a relatively significant number. You know, it's not $5,000. So it's a relatively significant number that the asset has to hit. And once it hits that number, in order for that asset to be distributed or passed on, the heir or the family member needs to come in to the court. They need to fill out paperwork. There's an entire process that they need to go through in order to be able to distribute that asset to the heirs.
Okay.
The point of that, the primary point, I would say, is that you know, there's a certain amount of notifications, that public notices that the family has to file or the heir has to file, so that if there are any creditors that want to make a claim against the estate, if people are owed money and they want to say, hey, I want to be paid from the distribution of this estate, they have the opportunity to do that. If they don't
Correct.
Come forward, then the family, you know, take that. So you are marketing to those people specifically. So there's a couple of things. The first one is that you're not marketing to somebody who has just passed away. Very rarely, I should say. It's not usual that someone, you know, dies and 2 days later the family's in court asking for the assets to be distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're normally 1 to 3 months outside of the actual death. Sometimes you're years outside of it because they are not trying to sell the asset or distribute it for years down the road, depending on what living situations are, et cetera. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you are marketing to people who have publicly made a statement, essentially, that says, I am ready for closure on this situation.
That's right.
So this is not someone usually who is in the throes of grief. You know, they've kind of been past that stage, and now they're at the stage where they say, okay, now I'm ready to kind of have everything settled. And the truth of the matter is when you come in and you very tactfully market to those people, more often than not, they're incredibly appreciative because you are helping solve an issue for them that can sometimes be overwhelming. You know, their grandma's house is chock full of stuff that she's accumulated throughout the years. And you're going to go in and say, listen, you can take whatever you want out of the house and leave everything else for me. So I can't tell you how many times I've been at a settlement table and had people in tears and hugging me, mm-hmm. and thanking me for what I do. You got to go into those scenarios feeling like you're offering a genuine service that's going to help people.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because oftentimes, you know, I connect with investors, I'm sure you have as well, and there seems to be a fear or something holding people back from wanting to target probates because it's such a sensitive and delicate situation. Maybe, I don't know if you could talk a little bit about that because I've had a challenge not so much trying to convince people that they should target probates because, you know, there's number one, like you said, it is a valuable service that we are providing to them. But number two, and maybe that's something we can talk about here, but probates, at least in my experience, tend to be some of the lead sources that produce our highest profit per deal or per transaction.
Absolutely. And if you think about the logic of that, it makes sense. So you've kind of touched on two different points that I think are really important. I want to hit on both of them. The first one is the second thing that you said, which is that your sentiment is the same sentiment that almost every single very experienced investor has, and that's that estates or probates tend to be dollar for dollar the most lucrative deals out there. That makes sense, right? Because you're not versus marketing to somebody who's delinquent or tax delinquent, foreclosure. You know, those are financially stressed situations.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, these are not people, and sometimes there is an enormous amount of equity, but oftentimes these are people with their backs up against the wall. You're marketing to somebody who's financially stressed, and their situation normally reflects that. So often when you're talking to these kinds of people, even if they want to sell you their home, you can't help them because they're over leveraged. That's a really common thing.
Mm-hmm.
With probates, on the other side of that, usually, number one, the heir, has really kind of, it's a sad situation, but they've come into some money that they weren't expecting. I can't say they don't always need it, but, they weren't expecting it necessarily. And also, you're talking about an asset usually that, has very little debt attached to it, if any debt attached to it. So the difference between a $60,000 offer to somebody who owes nothing on their home versus a $65,000 offer is 60 and 65.
Yeah.
On the other side of that, for somebody who's, highly leveraged on their home, the difference between a $60,000 and a $65,000 offer could mean them walking away with nothing them walking away with $5,000.
Yep.
So they tend to be very, very lucrative. The first issue that we talked about, so the first thing that I'll say about probates is I'm actually quite content with the fact that a lot of investors are intimidated by the probate lead.
Sure.
Because to me, that means that I have a lot less competition.
More opportunity.
With that lead than I do others.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. But again, kind of what we touched on in the beginning, there is a method and there is a marketing method of hitting everyone as soon as people have passed away. Again, as I explained, this is a situation where, somebody has publicly indicated that if there is a home, if a home is part of the assets, and you won't always know that, but if the home is part of the asset that needs to be distributed, they're saying, I want to sell this home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to a judge and asking for permission to sell the home. So oftentimes, your letter is welcome. Now, just like any marketing method out there, I can tell you that it's not always a welcome call, but that you're going to get those kinds of calls in any kind of mail marketing scenario, really any kind of scenario at all, because you're going to get nasty phone calls from bandit signs.
Yeah, sure.
Part of that is just you needing to put your head down and get through that stuff, and I know it sucks, but part of it is just, needing to work through that. But more often than not, in the scenario where you're marketing to probate, you're not dealing with people who are upset that you sent the letter. I will tell you this: if it's a really difficult thing for you to wrap your mind around, send them a generic letter. Don't reference the estate. I reference the estate in my letters, but I also have for my clients some examples of letters that just says, "Hey, I'm an investor in the area. I buy homes. If that service is sounds appealing to you, then call me." So there's a way to market to these things that's tailored to the comfort level of the investor as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I, for years used letters that specifically referenced the estate and had never had any major issues with it.
Yeah. So two quick points that I have just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, Christina, because I completely agree with you. I think number one, I've always kind of adopted the belief, and one of the things I've trained my acquisitions managers and my team on is that if we don't get at least a couple nasty, angry calls per week, we're probably not marketing enough. So that's number one. And number two, I really think that if you adopt the belief and the mindset that you are providing a valuable service to these people, that should help you overcome any fear or anxiety you have about marketing to these people and being hesitant when they actually call from your marketing. So I think it's just, I don't know if you'd agree, Christina, I think it's a mindset thing. I think you really have to truly believe that you're providing a valuable service to these people who, like you said, have publicly declared they want to liquidate these assets. I think if you have that belief and that mindset, it eases any concerns you might have about wanting to target and market to probates.
Yep. And a really good point that you made is the fact that I'm telling you, you're going to go to one or two closings when someone with tears in their eyes is profusely thanking you for what you've done and how you've conducted yourself and how you've helped them. For you to kind of get that in your head. In the meantime, remember what I'm telling you, because it's going to happen. If you decide to make probate a part of what you do, that part is, it's just going to happen. you're going to get that. Now, let me also say, for this, for probate calls or any other mail marketing or nasty calls that you take, the key with those types of calls is to get off the phone as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Do not linger. Do not try to convince them that you weren't trying to hurt them. Don't try to convince them that what you're doing is legal. Just make sure that you assure them in a calm manner that you will remove them from your list, that they will not receive any further communication from you. Apologize to them. Just say, listen, you know, this is what we do, and it often helps a lot of people. I'm so sorry that's not the case. Let me make sure that we take you off of our list. But do not get into arguments with people. Don't try to justify it. Just get off the phone as quickly as possible, or you're just going to drain your energy.
That's fantastic advice. Accept responsibility for it and just move on to the next one. So, yeah, I'm glad you said
move
that.
Move on to the next one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Christina, let me...
I can't tell you how many people... And you're going to be very tempted because they're trying to draw you into an argument. There's a lot of emotion. They're trying to draw you into an argument. Don't try to explain it, justify it. Just try to get off the phone for your sake, not even theirs. For your sake, just try to get off the phone as quickly as you can.
Yep, I completely agree with you. I'd like to pivot here and talk about direct mail. I don't know if you can share any tips. One of the things that you alluded to a little while ago was the type of the copy. Right. Or the words that you put in your letter as far as mentioning mentioning the passing and the situation versus just a generic letter. Do you have any tips that you might be able to share with us as far as what you work with some top clients out there, people that mail just crazy numbers on a monthly basis. And you also work with, you know, people getting started. So I think one of the cool things about your business and your service is that you get the benefit of seeing all this valuable data, right?
Can you
share some of the things that you find have worked for people as far as direct mail, specifically, targeting probates?
Yep. And really this information that I'm about to give you applies across the board. So even if probate is not a method that you want to pursue, if you're going to be mail marketing in any way, I'm going to give you some really cool tips here and some things that we find. Because our company does an enormous amount of testing. We test things right down to the kind of flap that the envelope should have to get you the best open rate on that flap.
Nice.
Do you seal it? Do you tuck it? Do you tape it? I mean, we get into the nitty-gritty of that kind of stuff. So I love sharing that type of information. So the first thing that I will say is that There's an argument to be made one way or the other on this, but I don't personally find that the content of your letter, unless it's just really dumb, I don't think that the verbiage of the content of your letter is makes a huge and enormous difference. I do think it makes a difference, and I think it's really important that the tone of your letter matches your style or whoever's style is going to be answering the phone. That part I think is important. You don't want to have like this ultra professional feeling letter if your style on the phone is super laid back and listen, I'm just Joe Blow. You really want to try to make the tone of the letter and whoever's answering your phone or whoever's dealing directly with the client be consistent. I do find that that's important. But I wouldn't get super hung up on the exact verbiage of the letter. I know a lot of people do. I provide my clients with templates because I know it's a roadblock to them sometimes mentally. But the more important thing is that you're taking action and that you're actually sending those pieces out. So because the market right now is so super competitive, one of the things that we are finding is incredibly effective for our clients is to have a really super unique mailing piece. You have to understand that you're one of 50 letters. Sometimes that people are getting, maybe not so much with probates, but with some of the other, high equity absentee owners. Those are super popular and super inexpensive lists to get, so they're highly mailed. So you really have to do what you can to stand out from the crowd on those. What's testing really well right now are smaller invitation-style envelopes. The A2 envelopes are testing really, really well right now.
Okay.
First class versus pre-sorted stamps. This is huge. I cannot even begin to tell you the difference that a first class stamp makes on a letter versus a pre-sorted stamp. Pre-sorted stamps are live stamps. But if you're using a mail company, you know, that's the go-to for people because it's about 20 cents less for a pre-sorted stamp than it is for a first-class stamp.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's warranted. But if you're looking to get the highest open rate or response rate possible on your mailers, people have really started to recognize those pre-sorted stamps, particularly because they no longer stamp them. You don't get a postmark with a pre-sorted stamp anymore. So it's very, very distinguishable from mail. Like when you're flipping through mail, the pre-sorted stamp looks different. And it doesn't have a postmark. So, you know, most people can kind of identify that as marketing and it's going to get chucked before it ever gets opened.
Yeah.
If you get your first class stamp on there and you're using a small invitation style envelope, it looks like a party invite. So even if someone suspects it's marketing, oftentimes they're going to open that up just in case it's a party invite or,
that's a thank you note
or, you know, what have you. We actually with probate, and again, this is not necessarily super reasonable, you know, for my clients who, for example, are mailing out 50,000 pieces in a month. That might not be reasonable, but, you know, with probates, you're not mailing usually a huge amount of leads. So we physically handwrite every address on the envelope. Human being is handwriting these addresses.
That is so
that
awesome.
That makes a huge difference as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Makes
oh,
a
yeah.
huge difference. Incidentally, if you're going to do that, this is a really cool tip, and we've figured this out through testing. If you're going to handwrite it, you actually don't want your handwriting to be super nice and super perfect because it ends up looking like a computer font if it's too perfect.
Yeah.
So we will literally have our handwriter sometimes we'll go back to a specific handwriter and say, this is a little too perfect. Not that we want it to be messy and illegible,
yeah.
but it, you know, the way that you're writing is a little bit too precise, a little bit too concise. It looks a little bit like, you know, a computer font. And if you're going to pay somebody to handwrite your envelopes, it might as well actually look handwritten.
For sure. And Christina, this might be kind of a geeky question. I'm guessing nobody's ever asked you this, but since we're kind of getting into the weeds as far as this, and I'm like you, I love this stuff because we split test as well.
Oh yeah.
Maybe not to your degree where like we test flaps and tape versus tucked in.
Yep.
Like that's some cool stuff to me, but do you, what kind of pen do you guys use? Like what kind of ink? Is it a ballpoint? Like what have you seen? Have you done any testing as far as that's concerned?
We sure have. Of course we have, because I'm a geek like you. So we actually, we will sometimes use colored ink, and I can't say that we don't. Like when I'm using a, one of our envelopes is like the brown bag, super nice high-end brown bag craft envelope.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with that, we'll use like a really nice dark green ink because it makes it look more like an invitation.
Interesting.
But the truth of the matter is sometimes you want to be careful with those colored inks because if you think about it, when somebody sends you a thank you card or somebody sends you an invite, they're normally using ballpoint pens or black pens or blue pens, right? So you actually want to be careful sometimes with making it look not abnormal to what the typical everyday person is going to use.
Mm.
So more often than not, if I'm being honest, we're using black, sometimes ballpoint. If sometimes with the gel points, even those can look a little bit crafted and a little bit, a little too professional or a little too computer done.
Yeah.
So sometimes depending on the kind of envelope we're using, because we'll mix colors up, we'll actually tell them we want you to use a ballpoint pen this time.
Very interesting.
So that it looks more like what an everyday person, because that's what you want it. You want it to look like, you know, your friend wrote you a thank you card. And if you think about it like that, that's the kind of thing that gets opened because
exactly.
people are like, oh, I better open this just in case, you know, Jessica sent me a thank you.
Yeah, very cool. You know, what's one thing that I'll throw in that it's been a couple of years, but a couple of years ago, we got our hands and we were actually split testing the actual stamp. And so we split tested an American flag stamp versus like a sexy Marilyn Monroe stamp. It was kind of like
uh-huh.
this. And the Marilyn Monroe stamp, like almost an exact percent outproduced, and everything else was the same. So that's one important tip with split testing, guys, is whenever you split test, it's A/B. So you only want to split test, like everything should stay the same, and you
yep.
only want one variable different. Otherwise, like you just don't, like if you change the, like if it's two different envelopes, right, and then two different stamps, how do you know what, like what was the cause of the one that outproduced the other, right? But what was interesting is that, yeah, so the sexy Marilyn Monroe stamp outproduced the American flag. I thought it was interesting.
No, and it's funny that you should say that, because we will do that with the wedding stamps. Depending, we have to be really careful, because there's a difference between the love stamp and there's another stamp that has a word on it that increased our angry phone calls, because it said something like wedding, or it really made it seem like a wedding invitation. Mm. It was too much. It was over the top.
Yeah.
The love stamp does really well. We almost, and I actually mix it. I'm sorry for you Star Trek fans out there, but we almost tested a Star Trek.
<That's>
and
cool.
I was like, no, I'm not going to do Star Trek. That just doesn't seem right. The other mistake we almost made, which is kind of funny, is I really liked this stamp that was a celebrate stamp, and it had like fireworks and stuff like that on it.
Yeah.
And we literally like almost, we were like, yep, that's the one we want. And then I got in my car one day and was having random thoughts, and I thought, oh my gosh, wait, I don't want to send a really nice invitation style envelope with a celebrate stamp on it that
somebody's,
you know,
passing, yeah,
to somebody who's
right.
And we dodged that bullet. I was like, wait, don't order those 50,000 stamps.
Ah, that could have been a disaster. Yeah, that could have been an expensive,
like,
mistake.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, hey, Christina,
we test all that stuff.
That's so cool. Well, that's actually, I think this is a perfect time. You know, guys, obviously, if you've been listening to the show, you know, we rarely ever like we don't pitch anything. My goal with this podcast is not to, you know, make a bunch of money. It's I love putting good content out there. But when I come across a valuable service or a tool, I'm not shy to recommend it or tell you guys to check it out, or at least consider checking it out. So what I'd like to do, Christina, if you have, you know, 5 minutes or so, is just kind of tell us about the service that you provide, because I wasn't aware of it until recently. And I actually just became a client here in Dade. And so even if you are interested, you might not even be able to, you know, to use her service, because it's only limited to a certain number of people. But Christina, can you kind of tell us how the service works for people that want to market to probates?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So one of the things that I will say is, if you found some of the things we were talking about overwhelming, you are, it's you and every other investor out there, you know, because you're focused on the deal. You're focused on rehab, and you're focused on pulling down the deal. And, you know, the thought of testing all of this stuff is probably a little bit overwhelming, and frankly would probably be overwhelming to you. So that was why Coastal Impact, my company, was born. The first thing that we do, we handle mail marketing campaigns, and we can do any kind of lead you can imagine. And we do that for our clients. But what we are most known for certain, is our probate lead, because probate leads are very, very difficult leads to gather.
Uh-huh.
And they're not difficult in the sense that they are, overly complicated to gather. Once you have the process down, it's done. But this is something that you need to do methodically and consistently every single month.
That's right.
And that's where most clients fail. But not only with the lead, but with mail marketing in general. One of the things about mail marketing is it's really important that you hit your leads more than one time. It's not just one and done. With probates, we actually suggest that you send a total of 4 letters, each one spaced 6 weeks apart, because you want to hit them at different points throughout their probate process.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with high equity, absentee, any of those. You want to hit them multiple times, because, you know, you never know when your marketing piece is going to speak to them in that moment. So at the end of the day, our company nationwide not only has the ability to gather the leads, and sometimes that means going into the courthouse to gather the lead if the lead isn't available online. Sometimes it's going online and, you know, filtering it down and making sure that you're gathering the right leads. But not only do we gather that lead, but then we also handle people's mail marketing campaigns, which is where most mail marketers fail, because they're not doing it methodically and they're not doing it consistently. And that's what you have to do when you've committed to a mail marketing campaign. You really kind of have to make a little bit of a longer term commitment to allow momentum to build. And then you have to maintain that momentum. What a lot of investors do is they have these huge marketing pushes. They get their deals. when they're focused on the deal, they're not doing any marketing. When they get towards the end of the rehab, they go, oh crap, where's my next deal going to come from? And then they do a huge marketing campaign and they lose the benefit of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So what our company does is we actually handle the mail portion for our clients. And, you know, we are essentially your marketing manager, if you will. We're the ones that are split testing this stuff. We're the ones that are coming back to you and saying, hey, listen, it seems like your response rate is a little bit low. Maybe we need to tweak your campaign this way. We're finding that this split testing is working. Let's try this. Let's try that. So we're tweaking, you know, that for you. So not only are we gathering the lead for you and making sure that we do that consistently, but then we're also managing the campaign for you, not just the execution of the campaign where we, you know, are physically handwriting these things for you, stamping them, putting them in the mail. Not just that, but also then managing the numbers of the campaign. Because, you know, a year from now, that's what's going to be invaluable information to you, is to know, hey, you know, most of my deals came from this area. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this is what was really working for me, and this is what I really want to hone in on now, so that you're not, you know, constantly scattered and not knowing what's working and what isn't.
That's so awesome. And the data and the metrics are, as you know, it's so valuable if you know how to read that information. And the fact that your company handles that for them is just, I mean, it's invaluable.
Yep. And not only that, I'll make this point. I mean, you know, I've been doing this since 1999. So not only do the leads need to be filtered, but we're filtering them through the eyes of a real estate investor. Because probate can mean a lot of different things. Probates are name changes. Probates are guardianship issues. We know that we want to target the people who have passed away and have an estate that needs to be settled. So that, you know, every single county has different codes, different ways that they organize this information. We go into those counties through the eyes of an investor, we filter it through the eyes of an investor, and then we deliver, you know, the absolute cleanest lead to you so that you're marketing to the cleanest lead possible.
Fantastic. So you actually, Christina, your company, like, you guys hire and you have boots on the ground that either physically go into the courthouse and or get it online. Is that how it works?
Yes. So it's one of the reasons why, and I'll just touch on this briefly because I want to be real clear. Probate leads, I'm not aware of a more expensive lead out there to market to. It's a difficult lead to gather, and there are huge advantages to that, incidentally, just because from a competition standpoint alone, there's a big advantage to it. You know, but these leads are going to run anywhere from $450. I have some people paying as much as $14. That's a really high amount. But it just depends on the complexity of the courthouse and the number of leads that are generated by the courthouse. Usually the lead's going to fall somewhere between $450 and high sixes per lead. Mm-hmm. That's what's more typical. And like you said, it is because we are literally hiring someone in a lot of cases to go into the courthouse for you on a monthly basis to gather those leads. Then we get that information, we filter it, and then we're delivering that lead to you.
Yeah, so, I think that's important to mention. Yeah, no, for sure. No, and I think it's important to just mention that this isn't some watered down list that, you know, Christina's company's out there buying and like reselling. Like, no, they're getting it from the source, right? So this is like, it's a fresh probate lead. And like you said, it's a process. And so, you know, what's interesting to me that $4 to $6, $6.50 a lead, I guess because we buy pay-per-click leads from companies and we've spent $60-$65 a lead, it doesn't seem all that like crazy to me, right? But maybe to somebody getting started, that seems like a lot.
Yeah. Well, but let me make this point. There's a reason why it's expensive. Number one, it's difficult to gather. So the first thing is you're going to have less competition with this lead than some, you know, a less expensive lead. More importantly, though, I mean, I have done every kind of marketing you can possibly imagine, and I have the ability, because, you know, I own a company that does it, to market to anything I want. I would say for the past 6 or 7 years at this point, I limit my mail marketing to probate only. Mm. Probate is the only lead that I personally market to. It's just that good. And it performs that well and that consistently for me. You know, I don't want to talk to 20, 25 people anymore to get one deal. With probates, you know, I'm talking to 3-4 people and I'm getting my deal. I don't want my phone to ring crazy and off the hook. You know, I'm at a point in my life where I've identified what is the most lucrative and valuable lead to me, and I just focus on that lead.
That's so awesome, Christine. I mean, I'm on the flip side in that, now granted, I have a small team here that processes the leads, but still on average, like our metrics, we it's about 52 leads for us to get to a deal. So think about the difference. Like, you know, do you want to talk to 52 or more, depending on your market, you know, and your experience in converting and talking to leads? Do you want to have to go through that many leads to get a deal, or would you like to do a deal in 5 or 10 leads? You know what I mean? And that's the power of probates.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. So, and then aside from the actual leads, so you said it's about $4 to $7 roughly for the probate leads. What about the actual, the mail? So, cause it sounds like it's a complete done for you, like mail service. How does that work as far as pricing is concerned?
Okay. So if you mail more than 250 leads, a month, new leads per month, then I can get your pricing all the way down to $1.29 per piece that you mail. That includes your postage, your first class postage. It'll go lower. I have some clients who insist on pre-sorted, but I really, if you're going to spend that kind of money on a lead, you might as well go all out on the marketing. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah.
So $1.29 gets you the first class stamp, handwritten, physically handwritten by a human being, the management of your campaign, you know, the envelope, everything, start to finish. As a matter of fact, people who do the completely done for you product literally spend a little bit of time with us on the front end, getting their templates set and approved, et cetera. And then they never touch it again. It is like clockwork. Nothing stops that thing. We are the machine behind you, you know, making sure that your mail is consistently going out no matter what. And that's what you have to have a super duper successful mail marketing campaign.
Yeah.
If you're mailing less than 250 pieces per month, and sometimes that does happen just because there's not an enormous amount of leads that are available, and depending on which counties that you're targeting, then the cost is $1.59 per piece for all those same things.
Okay.
So I will tell you this, just please believe, we don't make our money on the mailer because we just put in, we dump a ton of money not only into testing, but also, I mean, we literally, because we know what kind of envelope gets the best open rate, and we mail in very large volume, we literally have a company that custom makes our envelopes for us.
Nice.
You can't walk into the store and buy our envelopes. No. We know what kind of flap we want. We know how heavy we want the envelope to be. We know exactly what we want it to look like. So, you know, we just dump a ton of money into your campaign to get you the maximum notice on your campaign.
Very cool. Well, yeah, I'm excited because I just, as you know, Christine, obviously, I just became a client. And so I'm really looking forward to, you know, to getting going with you guys. And I've heard great things about the service. So aside from coming on here and just delivering quality content as far as probates, even if you guys decide not to reach out to Christine and find out more about how the service works, hopefully the takeaway for you here is target probates. I mean, you know, again, you're providing a valuable service and you're going to make a lot more. You're going to have to speak to less people to get deals, most likely, probably. And you're going to make usually a lot more on this type of lead source versus absentees or some of the others. I guess,
yeah,
Christina,
absolutely.
last question I have on the service as far as like you said, you limit it to what? It's 2 people per county, or how does that work exactly?
Yep, 2 people per county. So once we lock a county out, once we have 2 clients in any given county, we lock the county out. We don't work with anybody else. We just don't want to saturate any market with our really customized, it's because our marketing is so distinguishable. We really don't want to saturate it. And even when we have 2 clients, we make sure that we mix the campaigns up so that it's not super identifiable. If you are the first person, incidentally, in a county, you actually have the ability for a couple bucks more per lead to lock it out exclusively so that you're the only client with us. But
Very cool.
We have that, that's it. It's locked out. I mean, I have some counties where, you know, I've got a waiting list. I can't tell you how long of, you know, people that are waiting for a spot to open up so that we can slide them into that spot when and if it does.
Very cool. Well, guys, if you're interested in reaching out to Christina, just to, if you have questions, if you want to find out more about the service, if you really do have an interest and you think this is something that, you know, you can benefit from, you guys can go. We created a page for you. If you go to flipempire.com /probates. Okay, flipempire.com/probates. You're going to see two things on there. You're going to see a little mini questionnaire. If you're interested in the service, make sure it's just maybe 5, 6, 7 questions. It shouldn't take you more than a few minutes max. Just fill that out, and then somebody from Christina's team will reach out to you and just see if it's the right fit, and even see if the county's available. And then I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I appreciate you sticking through the show. I'm sure you've gotten a lot of great content from this. Christina, and I don't want to steal her thunder, maybe you could talk about it for a quick minute, but Christina created a book on probates that she's sold in the past, and we're actually going to be giving away. So there should be a link on that page where, if you're not interested in the service, that's perfectly fine. If you just want to access and download the book, highly recommend it. Get it. It's free. Read through it. If you just pick up one nugget from it, is it worth it? Of course, right? So,
absolutely.
Christina,
let me say this about the book too. The book is going to tell you how to get the lead. I mean, I'm not trying to hold this close to my chest here. Probates is generally speaking what I talk about, and I'm super passionate about it. The book is going to go through the probate process, really kind of explain it in a little bit more detail, but it's a super easy read. And I'm actually going to tell you how to go get that lead for yourself. If that's something that you decide that you want to do, if you don't have the marketing budget to be able to have somebody do that consistently for you, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to give you some tips on how to market to that lead. I'm an open book on this stuff. The other thing about the questionnaire, if and when you fill that out, is we are not going to call you. I am not a high pressure salesperson at all. I feel the same way about my service as I do about homes. If I have to convince you to sell you my home or sell me your home, I don't want your home. I don't want to convince anybody to sell me their home. I want you to be motivated. Same thing with the with my service. We're not going to be calling you when you fill that questionnaire out. A lot of that is just so that we can understand who you are as an investor, and more importantly, check your counties to see if they're available. In that case, we would email you and give you the information about whether or not the county is available. If it is, we'll give you some pricing details. And the only time that we're going to have a conversation with you is if you request one. So I just want to make that clear. I don't want anybody feeling like, if I fill this out, somebody's going to be, marketing the crap out of me. I'm not going to do it.
Thank you. I'm glad you clarified that. And by the way, if you're already marketing to probates, it would be great to split test using Christina's service. Or even if you're not, if you don't want to market to probates, let's say you just want to focus on another type of list, consider, using Christina's service for the done for you component, which is extremely valuable. I mean, we do that in-house, and it takes a lot of time. And so I can imagine if you're a one man or one woman show, it's going to suck up significant resources. So you might want to consider that as well. Guys, if you want to check that out, if you want to get the book and or find out more about the service and if the county's available, again, just go to flipempire.com/probates. And if you have questions about it, just my experience with the service, and if you just if you need anything, you guys can reach out to me as well. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have. So, Christina, I think I'm all good on my end. I don't know if there's any parting words on your end or anything I missed, but I think this was awesome. I really appreciate it.
No, man, I really appreciate being here. The only parting thought I will have for your listeners is just whatever you do, make sure you're taking action. Sure that this education is amazing. I wish all of this type of education had been available to me, when I was just coming up. Man, there's something so incredible about being able to listen to this stuff and stay motivated and be connected within the community. But then you got to walk away from that, and you have to take consistent action. Pick something to do every single day and do it consistently.
That's right. Yeah, we'll end on that note, because I really can't add anything better than that. But Christina, I appreciate you. I'm excited about jumping on board with you as a client, and hopefully if it's a good fit for you guys, reach out flipempire.com/probates. And other than that, I appreciate you joining in here, and I look forward to catching you on this Thursday's Q&A show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.